Tonight the topic is God the Father from our Plowman's Academy ABC study. And so tonight it's about God. Next time on September, it's the Holy Spirit. And then in October, we'll be probably talking about baptism a little bit. So join us the first Sunday night of every month. You know, Jonas, you want to begin with prayer?
Yes, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace towards us. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us that we sometimes don't even stop to think about. Well, we come to you tonight, fixing to have a Bible study, and we pray that your Spirit be with us. We pray that you would guide us in all truth, as your Word says, that you sent the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Lord, I pray for each one that will join this call tonight. I pray that you bless them in a special way, whatever their situation may be, as we talk about you being our Father, that we could fully accept and realize that you want to be our Father through us accepting you through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we come, we thank you for Jesus as well, sacrifice on the cross, and we pray that you guide and direct and lead us tonight as we go into this study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks. I'll give the phone number. Some of you haven't heard it before, that to call in to listen to these recordings, and I think there's five other ones too you can listen to from our past conferences. So if you want to write it down, I'll give the phone number and the address if you want to sign up for this Bible lesson or any of them, or just contact us for anything else. So the phone number to call to listen to this recording later, 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800. And then enter number 89752. 89752. And you can write to us at the Amish Voice, Post Office Box 128. That's Post Office Box 128, Savannah, Ohio, 44874.
Okay.
So, yeah, let us know if you need anything or have any questions or just want to call in and listen. And, yeah, you can either mute yourself if there's background noise by pressing 4-star, and then unmute yourself by pressing 4-star again. Or if you are muted and you have a question or a comment, you can press 5-star. So, the topic tonight is God the Father. And it's probably something we all pretty much agree on with a lot of things. I'm not going to be with people who read the Bible. There's not a lot of disagreement with a lot of groups. So to start out with some basic facts, how many gods are there?
One God.
Right. So how do you know that?
Through the study of the Holy Scriptures shows us there's one God.
Right, good. So if there is only one God, then what can we say about all the other gods? Or all the other beings that people say are gods? They must all be false.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know who the right God is? Yeah.
I was going to say, the Bible talks about a lot of gods, but every time it talks about the God of the universe, it's capital. All other gods, false gods or fake gods or make-believe gods are lowercase g gods. They are not God.
All right, so how do you know who the true God is, with a lot of different people claiming their God is the one true God, or that there's a bunch of gods? How would you explain to someone which God is the true God?
By knowing him.
Yeah, that's a good way.
And the Bible says his Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and that's how we personally know. You ask
Amen.
The question, how can we share with others who believe in other gods? I have the opportunity, the privilege to minister at it's a school facility, Job Corps, government facility, and people have a lot of ideas about God and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I share with them, you see, we can't give any kind of physical evidence of God, but we see in today's world there's thousands of religions in this world that people claim to or give their support or whatever. But what you have to look at is, here's how I share with them, what you have to look at is what are the results of whatever the God you're serving is? Do you find peace and joy and happiness in your God? And the reality is, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord, meaning the true and living God, is my strength. And so there is no strength outside of the true and living God. And so we live in a world of chaos and hopelessness and people scrambling for all kinds of religion and stuff to find some kind of peace. And I've seen it so many times, even religious people, when they finally find the one true God of the Bible, it changed their life. that in itself is a manifestation or a proof of the God of the Bible being the God of the universe.
Amen.
It changes somebody's life.
Amen.
Yeah, good. And how you started, Jonas, by saying, the Bible says. That's a good way to start any sentence. But so we would say, and it's true, that the God of the Bible is the only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
I've heard people say that there's two different gods in the Bible, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. What do you think about that? They think the God of the Old Testament is the mean, judgmental, killing God, and the God of the New Testament is the God of love.
Mm. Well, he did everything out of love, the old and the new.
Yeah.
You'd have a hard time reconciling that thought from a Bible perspective. What happened with the old God? Where did the new God come from?
Well, I can tell you what changed my life. In Isaiah 54, verse 9, he says, as in the days of Noah, he says, I have sworn I would never be angry with thee or rebuke thee again. I guess that changes the fact that God understood that, he did bring judgment on us for those people that were not believers in the New Testament. But the Father God today can look at us and say he will never rebuke us again. And he has literally sworn to himself. So there definitely isn't another God. He only swore to himself. And if God swears to himself, that's pretty awesome, I believe. My heart, that's what set me free.
Yeah, and there's a God full of love in the Old Testament and a God full of love in the New Testament. Everything God did for the Israelites in the Old Testament was out of love.
Exactly.
He does have anger. It's one of his righteous attributes. And yet, when we read the book of Revelation, we see he's going to show that again. There's judgment in both Old and New Testament and love in both. So he is, as you said, he is the same God. There is only one.
Well, I got a question.
Yeah.
The word judgment. Judgment day, is that for believers or non-believers, or for both?
Well, what do you guys say?
What?
I was asking other people what their thoughts were.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of debate about that. but in Revelations, it's very clear. It talks about the book and the book of life. My personal belief or opinion from the Bible, I guess, is that as Christians, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his righteousness, that's the way we come before God, covered by him. I think Isaiah 61 even talks about having that covering on, where God doesn't see our past or who we are. What he sees is the righteous Jesus Christ. So we, in a sense, forego judgment.
Amen.
But if you look in the book of Revelation, there's also the books that will be opened, which is the books of the works of people, I believe, who are not saved. They will be judged by their works, and they will be found guilty.
I have to think of the verse, and I can't think of the exact, and maybe one of you guys know it already, in James, where it talks about works and faith and all that. And it's a very confusing thing for people that have grown up Amish, Mennonite, people that have come from a very strong background of religious people. That is a very, very hard scripture that James talks about for them to understand. But one of the little pointers that I like to just punt out there, I call it the little punt, faith works.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the works that he's talking about. It's called faith works.
Right, we work because we have faith, not in order to get it.
There's no other way.
So is there? Yep. There's a lot of, with all the Muslim controversy in the world now, they talk about Allah and their God.
Mm.
Is the God of the Bible the same God as the God of the Muslims? And if so, how? And if not, how do you know?
I think the best way to know is to start with the basis of what you started this call about, which is God the Father.
Amen.
And God the Father is not mentioned in the Old Testament that I have found. I may be corrected on that, but I don't think you'll find it. God the Father is only in the New Testament and is there because of what Jesus said to Nicodemus, that he must be born again. We are born of water. If we're born of water and of spirit. The spirit is what makes us a child of the Father. Therefore, we can call him Father and call him Abba Father, as it says in several places. But when you have a group that hangs on their God, and they can't call him Father, they do not know the relationship that the real Father wants with his children. And that's why once we become children of God, we're no longer in the judgments that he talks of the unbelievers, but we're in judgments just like a father judges his child. If you think that you can be a child of God and never get a spanking for doing something wrong, you're grossly misled.
Yeah, and there are some prophecies in the Old Testament, like in Psalm 2, where it says, "The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Where it does talk about the Messiah being the Son of God. But
right.
Yeah, there's no... But yeah, the Quran says a bunch of times, God has no son.
Right.
Allah has no son, and that's why Muslims get so irritated at the Trinity, because their Bible teaches, well, not their Bible, the Quran teaches God has no son, and we say Jesus is God's son. And that's a big difference. So what about the Mormon God? There is a bigger issue when a Mormon ran for president a couple times lately, where Christians had to decide, before they would have never supported a Mormon. Now all of a sudden a Mormon's running for president, I'm thinking. And so they have to decide how to justify voting for a Mormon. And I've heard people say, well, they're nice people. Their God is the same God. They're Christians. Is the Mormon God the same as our God, as the God of the Bible?
Absolutely not.
What do you base that on?
They teach that they become gods. That is the worst part of their religion, is that they are always going towards perfection, and that lie is being perpetrated through the Christian community. You will find a lot of charismatic churches that will say, well, we're not quite that, but we're on the way, and God is dealing with us, and we will become like him. But either you become like him through his son, or you're not like him.
Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I was going to say, hey, there's a scripture, the Bible talks about that, and so we become like him only through the son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. But you know what? There's a lot of things, you're talking about making a quick decision there on, is their God the same God that's in the Bible? You know, there's one thing that I think a lot of us Christian people, we get so worked up about a lot of things in life, about if this is God or if that's God. But, you know, we are pretty much helpless, aren't we? Because there's only one God, and we can't do anything to make God do something. Because I have to think of the fact that God even knew, before he created heaven and earth, whose name is going to be written in the book of life. He knows who's going to walk into the gates of, open the gates of, the two gates of gold and walk on the gold floor and just walk through his mansion. He knows who those people are. He says he had it imputed to us. I think sometimes we need to rest and receive and allow God to do his doings and his things, because we really can't change that much in life. We take it. I think we lose a lot of blessings by not just sitting and receiving and allowing God to work through us naturally.
Yeah, God says, "Be still and know that I am God," in Isaiah.
Amen.
And we were talking about the Mormon God. Yeah, you're right. That the Mormons teach that God used to be a man, that we can become gods. The Bible says God doesn't have a body of flesh and bones, but he's a spirit. And the Mormons teach that God has a body of flesh and bones.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says,
well, we know Jesus,
God,
didn't he?
Wow. Yeah, the Bible says that God has always been God. The Mormons teach that he became God.
Mm.
The Mormons teach that God has a wife. And there's a lot of differences, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, they're pretty close, but they got it mixed up a little bit. There's going to be a wedding, that's for sure. Jesus did walk on the earth, and he did walk in the flesh, but they're a little bit behind, I'd say. I mean, I guess we're not going to sit here and judge them, are we?
We
the Bible judges,
they,
we
teach.
Don't.
Yeah, we can look at what they teach and know it's different than what they teach is different than the Bible teaches on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we should pray for them and show them the truth.
Right.
You know, I have to share something with you guys that God showed me in the last week. And I just, you know, usually when people say, well, God showed me this, they're like, whoa, what do you mean God showed me? People don't understand that. Well, one of the things that has opened me up into a greater, bigger and greater things of God, and that's this. Moses killed a man and with his bare hands out of frustration, and 40 years later, God came to him and said he's going to kill the children of Israel. And Moses stood up and told God, no, you're not. He says, no, you're not, God. Literally, not for your name's sake. And God honored that. And Moses just like stood up and said, look, God, you're not going to do that. Man, the people around you are going to say, hey, you know, why would God do something like that? For your name's sake, you can't do this. And he did. He obeyed what Moses brought to him. But the Bible says that Moses was the most meekest, humble man in the world. Now, I'd like to figure that all out. So, you know, in flesh, it doesn't seem too meek and humble to kill a man and then tell God what not to do, but he did. So I guess we can tell God what to do. God, show yourself to these people and be more real with them and just say, hey, you know what, God, it's time to show yourself. Show them.
Yeah. Well, it's not like us giving orders to God and him obeying, but it's us going to his word, and it shows the power of prayer, that we can go to his word and say, God, here's what you said. Let's see you keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure God doesn't give in to our demands.
No, he doesn't. I think God honors us in our requests, you know, if we ask God. I believe that God honors them. It doesn't mean that God is going to lie, you know, give us everything that we ask for, but the Bible says, ask, you shall receive. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, like the Bible teaches too, that we know there's a God because in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Romans says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so you know, the Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. So what do you think about, you know, there's a lot of people who say there is no God, the atheists. I'm not sure I believe there are any real atheists. I think there are people fighting against God and hoping there's no God. But deep down, I think they know there's a God. If I don't believe in a purple unicorn, I'm not going to spend my life fighting him. They don't believe God, and they spend their lives trying to argue people with people and fighting against him. So what do you think? Do you think there are any real atheists, people who really think there is no God?
Well, I can show you an atheist testimony. 74-year-old atheist man.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Paul. There's a lot of them that would profess that there is no God,
but he was a lame man. I told him, I know my God can heal that leg. And he says some pretty rough language, used some foul language, told me to go myself. And anyways, I told him, well, I know God's more powerful than that. I know he can heal that leg. 74 years old. I knew him when I was a little Amish boy. And the time came when that pain got so powerful in his leg that he asked me to pray for that leg. And that man today, to this day, is not lame. And he still fights the fact that there is no God, but he can't convince me that he knows that there's a God. He cannot convince me that he doesn't know that there's a God. I just know that he does.
Mm-hmm. You know, look at Pharaoh. He knows the power of God. Or he knew the power of God, and yet he fought against him. The Bible says in the end times, they're going to see God's judgment. They're going to see people being destroyed. They're going to know it's from God, and they're going to hate him. Instead of turning to him, they're going to fight against him.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense to us when we
it
know
doesn't,
that.
Does it?
Of him. No.
It doesn't, but, you know, I guess, I mean, it almost doesn't seem fair, but all people that are going to go to heaven are going to go to heaven. I don't think that can be changed. I don't think we can change anything that's in God's hands and in his plans. So there's going to definitely be people that are going to not make it. There's a lot of people that aren't going to make it, and they were never intended to make it. I mean, the Bible, they were just, I have to think of Ephesians 3 all the time. It's like, you know, we can just be thankful that we're one of those warriors.
Yeah, and the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Jesus' blood is enough for all, so we need to tell everyone. But in addition to atheists, there's also agnostics. Those are people who don't like making decisions. They don't want to come out on one side of the fence, so they stay on it and think they're safe. they say there might be a God and there might not be a God. You think that's a wise position to be in? At least atheists are honest enough to say they hope there's no God. What good does it do anybody if they say there might be and there might not be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of those people out there, too. They're tough to witness to.
Yeah, they seem more like people who know there's a God but don't want to follow him, so they just pretend there's not.
What about the people that they think that, well, they know that there's a God, and they know that there's a Jesus, and they know there's the devil. They know about all three of them, but they think they're living for God and aren't even close to him. And that's what breaks my heart with religious people. They have no idea. Heaven and hell are 16 inches apart. One's in your head and one's in your heart. They don't know the difference. I mean, these people that say that there isn't a God, I mean, and actually might believe that there isn't a God, I believe God's mercy. You know, God has powerful mercy for people that are, the Bible talks something about being innocent. Well, some of these people may be innocent, but these people that know that there's Satan, know that there's Jesus, and know that there's God, and they think they're following him, that's scary for me.
Yeah, and Jesus talks about a lot of people that are religious that think they know God, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because we're all guilty.
No, it's...
I'll deal with that every day. Yeah, all right, I'll give. Remember, you can mute yourself, and you can mute yourself and unmute yourself by pressing 4-star. So if there's background noise, you can press 4-star, mute yourself. And I'll give the phone number again if you want to call in to listen to these recordings later. So if you're ready, I'll give it to you: 641-715-3800. 641-715-3800, and enter PIN number 89752. So now let's look at some characteristics of God that aren't very common.
Jimmy.
People don't like. We know God is love, but the Bible says another one: God is jealous. God says in Exodus that His name is jealous. But you don't hear many people going around saying, "My God is jealous." So what does that mean, and what should it mean to us?
Well, my thoughts on that is this: we are God's creation. He created us with His hands and created us. Bible says marvelously, and I believe when God sees His creation turning to other gods, when He created us for Himself, that would naturally provoke jealousy. He created us for worshiping Him, relationship with Him, and yet we turn from Him and we turn to other gods.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm in full agreement. Full agreement with that. That's right on.
Yeah, right. God deserves all the credit, and when we think we did it or somebody else did it, then we're not giving God the credit that He deserves.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about? Well, we know God is love, and what does that mean that God is love? We know God has judgment too. The Bible says He's a God of wrath. How can He also be a God of love? And what would it mean to the unsaved? What would it mean to a Muslim to know that God is love? They don't understand God is love.
Well, I think one of the things that for God as love, I want to be careful how I say this in offending anybody, but I don't think any of us can truly experience love until we truly experience God. And the more we truly experience God, the more the Spirit dwells within us, the more people can just receive from us without even saying a word. And that's who God really is.
Yeah, to those who know Him, we understand more that God is love. Because we know how much He loves us. And the closer we grow to Him, the more we know His love, and the more we love Him. But how can we say God is love, and also we read that God hates all workers of iniquity in Psalm 11 and Psalm 5?
I would put it this way. God loves, the Bible talks about God hating the sinner, and yet we talk about God loves the sinner and desires the sinner to come to Him. And it's almost a paradox, really, if you look at it, think about it. But I think God loves the sinner in that He gave His only Son to die for sinners so that we can have a relationship with Him. But
Amen.
When a sinner continues to reject that free gift of salvation, that atonement, then that sinner is taking a stand against God, and God's anger is kindled against that when God is offering so much and yet it is being refused.
Hmm.
Yeah, if we know then the Bible that God says he's either our master, and some people look at God as a judge, and they're afraid of him. And some people look at God as a father, and they love him. And so how do you see him? Do you see him as, we know the unsaved, those who don't know him have to look on him as a judge. If you never know for sure that you're forgiven, and you hope every day that your good is more than your bad, and when you stand before him someday, you hope he's going to let you into heaven because you hope he sees your good works that you did. You're always going to live afraid of him because he's your judge. He has the power to send you to hell. And you can never have peace. You always think you have to do more and do better, and it's never good enough. But if you know him as your father because of the blood of Jesus and you being adopted into his family, then you no longer need to live in fear of him.
Amen.
Amen.
So what's the difference? Did some of you used to live in fear of God as a judge and now know
exactly.
him as your father?
Exactly how you just laid that all out is how I was brought up. That's how I grew up. The awful way to live life. Bible says, therefore, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I praise the Lord that that I am living without that condemnation that was put on me by that way that you explained it, that God is a judge. Because when you live your life like that, you're always going to live in condemnation.
Right. And there's a lot of religious groups that live like that. That they're
every day.
Their people follow a list of rules and regulations, and they go and Mormons give 2 years of their life to go around and tell people about their religion. Jehovah's Witnesses follow a list of rules. They have to do certain things in order to please God, and a lot of other groups are like that. And they never know. Muslims, the only way a Muslim can know for sure that he's going to heaven is by being killed in a holy war. That's why they blow themselves up.
You were just talking about how we know that there's a God and how we know it's a God and all this. You know, I'm going to bring this up because wherever I go, is it Baptist churches, is it Amish churches, is it wherever you go in religious society today, it's people are standoffish about how much you know of God. I even had this preacher come up to me and tell me, well, how much do you know of God? They call me arrogant. Well, I'm not arrogant. I'm just sure of who my God is. But it's called surety. You're sure of who you are in Christ. One of the things one of the preachers said was this. He says, how much of God do you know? And I told him, I said, well, I have all of him, and I only know as much that he has revealed to me. And I think that goes for all of us. And I think if I pray for you right now, and you have a problem, and I pray for you, and you're healed, and we have 10 witnesses standing there, those 10 witnesses had an experience with God, and you had an experience because you were healed, and I had an experience because I prayed. Every one of those experiences is going to be different, and now we try to make now it's 12 people, and one of us says, no, it's this way, when we actually all experience God in a different way. I think we have to watch ourselves then.
Yeah. Yeah, we know certain things are true about God from the Bible, but not everybody has the same experiences. There's a lot of Muslims now in the world coming to Jesus because of dreams.
The Bible talks about two, doesn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Dreams and visions.
Just because I haven't had a dream like that doesn't mean they don't happen. Just because somebody else had a dream like that doesn't mean that everybody should.
Then you have people that say, when you talk to them, that Jesus said that we can do greater things than him. Well, then you have people say, oh, yeah, that's because our doctors can do heart surgery. And these are coming from people that believe in God. They just don't know him.
Yeah, like Jesus said, you err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God, he told the religious people. So we have a lot of
the different. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jonas.
Talking about the different ways that different religions and different people try to approach God, the world that we live in today, there's thousands of religions. And the thing that sets the thing that sets true Christianity and all other religions apart is in the way we approach God. All religion, it's all about me and how and what I have to do to find favor with God. In Christianity, we understand that we don't have favor with God, but Jesus did. And we come to God by accepting the free gift of salvation, humbling ourselves, realizing it's not about us. All other religions, it's about us. It's about what we can do. It's about how we approach God, how much we pray, or whatever.
But in Christianity, it's humbling ourselves, receiving a free gift, something that we didn't deserve, we didn't pay for. It's not about us.
Yeah. And because true Christians have said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because we have no choice but to humble ourselves before God, we can be confident in our eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't trust in ourselves. I don't have to be concerned about, are my works good enough to please God? But I just have to be concerned about, Jesus did please God, and I'm trusting in Him. And so we have the peace and joy and hope and love that the religious people and the unsaved don't understand, because we're not trusting in ourselves. The only way to have true peace is to trust in Jesus alone.
Amen. Because of identity. That's an identity thing. Amen. Identity. Who we are in Christ. You know, talked about a lot of things about God. One of the things that is huge about God is the fact that, we were all lost, and Adam's sin was imputed to us, that God was gracious enough that when we received Jesus Christ, that all of His righteousness is imputed to us.
All that is actually harms people on here.
Yeah. So another thing the Bible talks about is the holiness of God. We talk, I hear in a lot of churches that they tell the unsaved that God is their friend, that God loves them as they are, that just come to church and you'll be okay. What does it mean for God is holy and He expects us to be holy? What is the holiness of God?
His perfection and His glory.
Yeah, He hates sin.
Mm-hmm.
We can see in the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. When Moses was at the burning bush, and God said, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. We see the apostle John, who was the beloved disciple whom Jesus loved. And yet when Jesus rose again and John saw him when he was on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, he fell on his face. And so, we need to be careful that Jesus can be our friend, but He's not our friend if we remain in our sins. He's only our friend because He's forgiven us and we've been made new. And we don't treat Him as some casual friend, because He's still God, He's still holy, and we're still not. And so we should hate sin as much as God does. We should love others as much as God does. God commands us to be holy as He is holy. How would that change our lives if we were as holy as He is? Yeah,
there's a lot of truth to that, but without God, we can't even come close to that perfection. And so our focus needs to be on our relationship. God will honor us and clear us that way.
What does it mean that God's name is holy? I mean, we hear all the time, no matter where we are, we hear people taking God's name in vain. And that's even one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, it's not that difficult to hear some Christians take God's name in vain and not even realize it. But if someone was talking about our mother or our spouse, that would bother us. And it should bother Christians when we hear God's name being taken in vain. But it's strange, because you never hear people say, oh Allah, or oh Muhammad, but they don't mind saying Jesus or God. Maybe we should be taking a little more offense to that, letting them know it's not right. So what do you think?
Well, I think God wants us to stand for Him, and so many times when we stand, the Bible says stand for the truth. Well, what does that mean to all of us Christians, standing for the truth? That means standing for the truth in every situation which there is God. And when you walk in the truth, you walk in the truth of who you are. That's the truth. That are just true, but not the truth.
Yeah, any other thoughts on that? Anything we've discussed so far from anyone?
Well, I definitely think that any time that someone takes the Lord's name in vain, we have the right to speak up, because that is very offensive.
Right.
I think holy is without sin. God is without sin. A simple definition.
Yeah.
When somebody said that who we are, we walk as in who we are. Who are we? By the blood of Christ, we can be holy, not from ourselves.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And as humans, we're made in the image of God. If we've been adopted into His family by the blood of Jesus, then we represent Him. He's our Father, and we ought to be good ambassadors of Him. Other people should see Him in us. They should see the love of God in us, and the hatred of sin in us, and they should want to be more like Him. They should want to know Him if we're living right. Thank you.
our lives should definitely anyhow personify Christ in such a way that others want to follow him.
All right.
That way we are light.
Good.
Well, if we want to talk about holy.
Yeah, go ahead. We're getting run over each other here.
All right, someone go ahead.
Yeah. The holiness of God is something that we all have. And that's the purity of the Spirit that dwells within thee. And going back to Moses, where Moses was, God told him that he was the most humble and meekest man in the world, even though he killed a man with his bare hands and he told God what not to do, it was his relationship with the Spirit that was united with his as far as unity. I believe that's what God based that on, who Moses was, meekest and humblest man in the world, his relationship with him.
So what does it mean to fear God? The Bible, Proverbs a few times, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't want people to be always afraid of God.
It doesn't mean to be scared of him. It doesn't mean to be scared of God. It means to reverence him, to be in awe of him, or to, in my mind, to fear him.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And that's
fear of the
start.
Lord. I rejoice in the fear of the Lord because of the awe and amazement of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and anyone who doesn't fear God, doesn't reverence and respect him, and, you know, we should be. They should be afraid of him because they're going to be facing him one day as the righteous judge. But, yeah, he's not just like a child should fear his parent, to know that he's got the authority, he's in charge. How much more should we do that with God and reverence him, the who can create the entire universe, who can change the hearts of kings, and who sent his son to die for us? You know, it's a command to fear God too. In Deuteronomy 10, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." And certainly the Israelites saw God's power. They should have respected him and feared him and reverenced him and trusted him.
Well, God knew we couldn't do all those things, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the closer we grow to God and the more we know him, the more respect we have for him, the more we stand in awe of him, and the more we should.
Live and breathe Jesus Christ daily. Eat him and drink him.
Yeah. The Bible says too we should know him. We know that certainly Satan knows God. Satan knows about God. But that's different than knowing him as a child of God. What? How can somebody know God, as the Bible says we should?
You have to stay in his word to know him. If a person is not daily getting into his word, they cannot really claim to know God.
Bible. I have to think of something. I want to share this. The Bible says there are as many things that are not written, so how are you going to experience the things that are not written? By knowing who he is in your spirit. The Bible says the truth will show us all things.
And John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And it is. It is to know God. I might know some of you, but I might know about other people. But to really know them, I have to be with them, spend time with them, do things
Amen.
With them.
Have a relationship. Yep. Amen.
Yeah, and how can we, like was just said, how can we say we know God if we don't know much about him? If we don't want to be with him and we don't want to be like him, we simply know about him. But if we know him, we love him. And if we love him, we love others. If we know him, we want to be like him. If we know him, we want others to know him. To know God will change our whole lives forever. And it's going to cause us to go out into the world and seek and save the lost, like Jesus did. Well, so what are your thoughts on these things? Any other parts of topics about God you have comments about, or questions? All right. Yeah, it sounds like somebody has questions. All right, well, I'll give out the phone number again to listen to these recordings later. Phone number is, and there's this conference call and our last five will be on there. The phone number is 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800. And enter PIN number 89752. And at the end of the recording, you can leave a message and tell us your thoughts or questions or other topics you want to discuss, or you can write to us at the Amish Voice, P.O. Box 128, Savannah, Ohio. That's Post Office Box 128, Savannah, Ohio, 44874. So I hope all of you do know God. You grow closer to Him and tell others about Him, and if you don't, that you'll get to know Him. You can ask us now, write to us, search the Scriptures, and never stop until you do know Him. And then once you know Him, never stop until you stand before Him. That's what it's the Bible says in the Psalms. The greatest pleasure is to fear God, to know Him. In God's presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So those who try to find their joy and pleasure in the things of the world, or think they're pleasing God by understand the basic beliefs in the Bible. Jesus often taught the religious rulers that their eyes were blind and their hearts were hard because they were following their religion and they didn't know God. They didn't know Him. So if you don't know Him, then let us know. Seek Him while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Then live for Him. Love Him more each day. And work, because the night's coming when no man can work. So continue to live for Him and tell others about Him and pray for the lost. And someone want to close in prayer? And we'll see you next time for the topic of the Holy Spirit. May we know You, the only true God. May our lives be changed by You, because certainly one who knows You should be much different than one who doesn't. May we live our lives to lead others to You, not to prove arguments or to show that our way is right, but to lead them to the Savior who died for us and who saved us, that You tell us we must be born again. And there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. And may we not trust in anyone or anything, no matter how good it seems. And thank You for knowing us. And may we boast not in our riches or our wealth or our religion or our church, but in loving you, and that You know us. So thank You for being patient with us, giving us Your word, and giving us Your Son, through whom we can have salvation. And as You tell us, we can know for sure that we have eternal life. Well, may we walk with You, and thank You every day for the privilege of You wanting us to talk to You anytime, and You caring about us, and You being the God of all comfort. May we live for You and glorify You and love You more each day. Thank You for being our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. And there is a Spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle.